Today on NFL Fantasy Live, we're taking you to Wall Street. Fantasy Wall Street, that is. Our experts reveal which quarterbacks are seeing their stocks rise and which stocks are falling. And our Fantasy Two-A-Days continues in the NFC South. Today we head to Carolina and Tampa Bay. Will Cam Newton be more Clark Kent than Superman this year? We discuss. And later, does a big name equal big production? We tell you which big name fantasy players could be a little too overvalued. NFL Fantasy Live presented by DirecTV starts right now. And welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. I'm James Coe, here alongside Michael Fabiano and Jordan Cameron, lookalike Elliot Harrison.
Jordan Cameron?
Yes,
really?
He does. If you've not seen the picks.
He's a handsome devil, this guy.
I know he is. We'll chat with Molly Karam and Marcus Grant in just a moment as well. If I can, I kind of want to push the new fantasy app on NFL.com. Mike, I know you're really impressed with this thing has turned out.
I love this thing. You can draft on the NFL mobile app. I actually drafted part of a team while I was live on the air. Okay,
love
that's
it.
How easy it is to use this app. It's fantastic.
When I saw you took Monte Ball number one overall, I just didn't know what to think.
Would you stop it?
Yeah.
Stop it. NFL.com/fantasy. Sign up today. All right, top headlines. We'll start in Cleveland. That's the big news there because the Browns have named a starting quarterback. And guess what? It's not Johnny Manziel. The winner, if you want to call him that,
Rex Grossman?
It's not Rex Grossman either.
No? Okay.
Connor Shaw? Nope, not him either.
What about Lex Grossman?
Brian Hoyer would be the guy. And for, what does this mean for the Browns fantasy-wise? And we'll start with Johnny Manziel. Is he worth a late-round flyer? I want to say in a 12-team league, because in a 10-team, I think it's pretty clear maybe, probably not.
12-team maybe, but I right now look at him as more of a 14-team league, 16-team league flyer in the late rounds because the quarterback position is ridiculously deep. Mm-hmm. It's so deep. So why draft a quarterback who's not even opening the season as a starter?
To me, that tells me a lot, Fabs, because you are such a big proponent.
I love Manziel, yeah. But if he's not playing, listen, unless you get fantasy points for holding a clipboard, he's not going to help you at this point.
Go Charlie Whitehurst.
I like it. Elliot, what do you think about Johnny?
If I'm in a 12-team league, which is what you were talking about, yep. Then I like it in the last round because I always believe in taking a fun guy for the last pick, and I always go one round early on my kicker and defense and everybody else because I want my pick of the litter at kicker. That always leaves me wide open in the last round. That's exactly where I take Manziel, but I don't think he'll be there, to be honest. I think somebody in my league will take him.
All right. If Manziel isn't worth a late-round flyer, I'm assuming Brian Hoyer himself isn't terribly fantasy-relevant, but there could be some very real impact on Jordan Cameron's production. We're not talking about Elliot Harrison. We're actually talking about the real Jordan Cameron because in the two games, look, I know he started three games, but in the two games that he really played because he got hurt early in the third, he really liked going to Jordan Cameron. Four of his seven touchdowns came in those two games with Brian Hoyer at the helm.
Yeah, they won a game against Minnesota. In fact, we're showing footage of that right now by going to Jordan Cameron. To me, Jordan Cameron's value stays right where it is with either quarterback. I think Jordan Cameron is a six-round pick at best for me. That's where I'd be looking for a tight end of his caliber, Fabs.
Yeah, he's in my top five currently at the tight end position. I've actually moved him up past Vernon Davis at this point.
Is that because of the Brian Hoyer announcement?
It is, and it's also partially because I just really think Vernon Davis is going to disappoint fantasy owners this year.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some players which aren't named guys last year but jumped onto your fantasy radars this preseason. Fabs, we're going to start with you. I know you like this kid out of Tennessee, Justin Hunter.
Right, and we're talking about guys who you're going to draft late.
Yes.
Okay? Hunter's ADP right now is way at the end of drafts on NFL.com. But he has flashed during the preseason, had a huge game in his last contest, over 100 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Kendall Wright's the guy to draft from Tennessee's wide receiving core, but take a chance on this kid in the late rounds. He's a second-year wide receiver. Last year, five second-year wide receivers had 1,000 yards, and the Titans coaching staff loved this guy's upside.
He absolutely flashed a lot of potential, especially late in the season, which is crazy to say for a guy who only caught 18 catches last year. Andrew Corliss for you, Elliot.
Yeah, yesterday in the newsroom, our producer, Heather Pink, said, give me a guy. And I could tell she had that look in her eye. Like, she wanted somebody that we never talk about. Andrew Corliss, you know, he was targeted a lot against St. Louis. I'm just watching him. I don't think he's on anybody's draft board right now, Fabs. And that, to me, is the definition of a guy that kind of finds his way on your draft board, is someone who gets targeted in the preseason. And who else does Green Bay really have to go to at the tight end position? You know they're going to throw the football, and Corliss can block, which means he stays on the field.
You know, I asked Aaron Rodgers while I was in St. Louis who the number one tight end is. I said, is it Corliss? I'm not telling you. I'm not giving you any secrets. Well, maybe it is.
That was a great story.
Thanks, pal. Mark Ingram is a guy who flashed.
I didn't have a lot of time.
He's a guy who flashed a lot of talent during the preseason. Man, he looked really good, Fabs. I know you like him as well.
And he looked better than Corliss also, by the way.
I agree with that.
Ingram has been a bust in the NFL, let's face it. In fantasy, he's been a bust as well. But does he get the chance this year? Darren Sproles is gone. Can Ingram earn the top spot on the depth chart and be the early down back? I'm not jumping on his bandwagon just yet, but he's on my radar a little bit more, maybe as an RB4.
All right, Zach Ertz, the kid out of Stanford for you, Elliot.
Well, I tell you what, you can call him a kid because you're a lot older. Zach Ertz, I'm saying it right now, 64 catches, 8 touchdowns this
I like
year,
it,
fellas.
I like
64
it.
And 8. I'm not saying Brent Celek's being put out to pasture. I just think the Eagles are going to run a lot of two tights. Why not? And Zach Ertz is the pass-catching tight end. He can get down the field. He's got the measurables athletically. And in the preseason, I've seen Nick Foles look his way a lot. Again, 64 and 8, I think, for Zach Ertz.
I've moved him up into my top 10 at tight end. Yeah, I like him that much.
Okay, all right. And again, all of those guys you're taking very late in your respective
Well, maybe not Andrew Corliss now.
Vernon Davis or Zach Ertz?
Vernon Davis right now, but it's closer than you think.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, for more now on some rookies to keep your eye on, let's throw it over to Molly Karam and Marcus Grant. Guys.
Wait, Fabs, can you tell us that story one more time?
Full story, bro.
Thank you.
Just kidding, Fabs.
You're really going to get it later, kid.
Oh, you know we love you. Thank you, guys. Molly Karam here with NFL.com fantasy editor Marcus Grant. And we're going to talk about some rookie wide receivers to watch, starting with a guy I know you like. Out of Buffalo, the Bills traded up to get him, Sammy Watkins, but E.J. Manuel's throwing him the ball. Does that concern you?
That does concern me a little bit. I mean, Sammy Watkins, obviously the guy who's the number four pick overall, a guy that has a lot of upside. Everybody's excited about him. Everything we've seen about this guy in camp says he's a superstar in the making. A little bit nicked up right now, has the rib injury. That's a little bit concerning, but when he's healthy and he's out on the field, he's going to be the guy that E.J. Manuel looks at a lot. We know what he can do. We've seen the spectacular Vine Instagram plays that he has made. It's just a matter of whether or not the quarterback can get him the football. But all things being equal, Sammy Watkins will be one of the first rookie receivers off the board.
The Bills did report the rib contusion is minor. He returned to practice on Tuesday. Kelvin Benjamin, he seems to be in a great spot with that depleted receiving core there in Carolina.
File Kelvin Benjamin under somebody's got to catch the ball.
Right?
You know, that's the big concern with Carolina is what happens with their receivers. He's a big guy. He's a guy they make look for, especially down near the goal line. That's encouraging. I just have so many concerns about this Panthers offense that it makes me a little bit wary about drafting Benjamin.
We're going to have much more on the Panthers coming up on this show. Next up, Jordan Matthews, drafted out of the second round from Vandy. Now, our researcher extraordinaire, Sudsy, has been high on this guy since day one. How do you like him?
It has nothing to do with Suds being from Philadelphia, though, right?
No, the city of brotherly love.
Of course not. You talk about guys, though, being on the radar like our guys were talking about earlier. Jordan Matthews has jumped up on my radar, especially after his big second preseason game was all over the field making plays like you see here against that Patriots defense. And he's a guy that is going to get some looks. I mean, there are some questions with Jeremy Maclin and with Riley Cooper. Matthews can line up in the slot. He can line up out wide. There are plenty of targets in that Eagles offense. He's a guy worth taking a late round flyer on.
Yeah, and we know Foles can sling that ball for sure. This guy, John Brown, a bit under the radar with Arizona, but Anquan Boldin said he is beyond impressive, the young rookie.
Common name, uncommon talent. The one thing you keep hearing about John Brown throughout training camp is that nobody seems to be able to cover this guy. We're talking about a team that has Patrick Peterson in its secondary. This is a guy, speaking of Brown, that probably isn't going to get drafted in a lot of leagues, but if you are feeling saucy, maybe you give him a shot late in your draft. Outstanding speed, could be a sneaky play coming out of the slot for Arizona.
Maybe a good sleeper. Looks like he's battling with Ted Ginn Jr. for that third spot right now. Good stuff, Marcus.
Thank you kindly.
We're looking for our next Keenan Allen here. Coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, we're giving you our 2014 fantasy forecast with the Carolina Panthers. Will Cam Newton return to form without any returning wide receivers? Maybe Kelvin Benjamin. Our experts tackle all the toughest questions, and later is the bubble bursting on Colin Kaepernick. What about RG3 when we come back? It's time for our quarterback stock watch. Don't move a muscle.
steps up, looks, throws in the middle. Touchdown, Reggie!
Leaping, he got it! Touchdown! Kendrell Perkins!
Take your draft to the next level with the official fantasy draft board of the NFL. The kit includes easy-to-use player label stickers and room for up to 16 teams in 20 rounds. Be sure to check it out at NFL.com/draftboard. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Hello there. And we're going to do a little stock watch with the signal callers. How about it, gentlemen?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's begin with some quarterbacks whose stocks are on the rise. And we start, Fabs, with Ryan Tannehill. 24 pass TDs last year, most ever by a Dolphins quarterback other than Dan Marino. And you like that to continue.
I like what I've seen from him in the preseason. The offensive line has improved during the offseason. And I like what Bill Lazor's bringing to Ryan Tannehill, helping him work on his footwork. He's taking the ball downfield a little more vertical, which is going to be a great thing for not only Tannehill, but Mike Wallace. He's had 172 passing yards and a touchdown so far in the preseason. Now, the quarterback position is really deep, so he's not someone you're going to take before the 10th round. Mm-hmm. His current ADP on NFL.com, round 15, at that point, I'm very comfortable with him as a QB2 who could bear you some fruit during the regular season.
Elliot, Nick Foles absolutely killed it last year. He was 16th among quarterbacks in terms of fantasy points. Do you think that number could possibly go up?
Well, the thing with him is that we don't have a very big catalog. We had 11 games. So then when he stunk up the joint against Chicago in the preseason, he threw two bad interceptions against a defense that really isn't that good. People are already worried. But I saw him play a lot better last week. And I feel that Nick Foles in this offense has all the tools to succeed, whether it's having more plays, which means more opportunities, having a good rushing attack, having a third down option in Darren Sproles. The wide receivers, yeah, they lost to Deshaun Jackson, but they went right back in the draft and got Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt. So I just feel like he has all the weapons and the opportunity. So it's not just about Nick Foles. It's about the entire environment for him.
Real quick, where would you take him? They're showing 7th round overall.
I would wait because I wait even longer than that on quarterbacks, 8th or 9th for Nick Foles.
Moving on, we have the rookie Blake Bortles, picked 3rd overall by the Jags. You high on him?
I am wet now that I've seen him play a couple of games. I mean, if we've been talking about a rookie quarterback who might start and be a QB2, forget about that guy in Cleveland. It's the guy who has a chance to start football games. Blake Bortles has gone from being a guy that would not start under any circumstances when he got drafted to now the Jaguars are thinking about maybe putting this guy in. He's looked poised. He's looked confident. The biggest question, obviously, in Jacksonville has to do with his pass catchers and what happens with those kind of guys. But the fact that Bortles has played so well means he's in the running to actually get some live snaps come week one. And I think that gives him a chance for you to take him as a late-round flyer as a QB2 there.
ADP's 150. You're on board with that? Accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. You're taking the last couple of rounds. You're giving him a shot.
Blake Bortles getting the love. All right, let's move on to the guys whose stock is on the downturn. And we'll go back to you here, Marcus, with EJ Manuel. He missed 10 games last year with some health concerns. What do you like this year?
Well, I think right now EJ Manuel might have been replaced by Blake Bortles in terms of my late round quarterback flyers. He was a guy, speaking of Manuel, that if he stepped up and played, was healthy and played well this year, it has an impact on Robert Woods. It has an impact on Sammy Watkins. It even impacts what happens in that running game. But so far, what we've seen of him in the preseason has not been anything particularly spectacular. He's struggling right now. That's impacting the Bills' offense as a whole, and I think he falls out of that late-round flyer spot.
Elliot, we talked about RG3 last week. He was my quarterback last year, and I won no championships. Would that change with him this year? Because I'm staying away.
You know, we were all told that he was this great quarterback in 2012, and then last year we were told that he regressed because of the knee injury coming back from it. Well, not everybody that comes back from an injury is terrible. Mm-hmm. So what is he this year? I mean, I saw a really, really bad throw to Joe Hayden in this game right here. But you know what? He made a couple other throws that were not very good either. Now, he did have a deep pass, but right now I haven't seen enough from him. He looks awkward sliding. Look at that play right there. I'm worried that he's going to get hurt. And sometimes, Molly, you know what? It's a sock and it's got like weird triangular shapes on it and stripes, it's probably an Argyle sock. So if he's not playing well and it's now going to be the second year in a row, then maybe he's just not as good as we thought.
And you bring up the key point, watching him slide in that preseason game.
It looked
awkward.
Like
he's gonna, it's hard to believe that he'll stay healthy for an entire season with that. But Fabs, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on him as well. We're showing him going in the 6th round.
Yeah, that's a little too rich for my blood because I wait on quarterbacks. But I think if I can get him in round 8 maybe, that's where I'm more comfortable. I think he's going to have a much better year. If you look at the numbers that he produced last season in 13 games, he still averaged around 14 or 15 fantasy points per game. That's not bad, and that's with a knee brace, and he wasn't confident in the knee, and a lot of other things going on. Now they have Jay Gruden. They have a better pass-catching options there with DeSean Jackson. Jordan Reed is healthy, so everything lines up for RG3 to have a much better year than he did last year. I'm not saying he's going to be elite, but he'll be better.
Colin Kaepernick, same type of quarterback as RG3. Why are you not as high on him this year?
Well, because I keep hearing people say, well, he could be a potential top five quarterback in fantasy. That's not going to happen, guys.
A little aggressive.
Top 10? I can see that. I don't like what I've seen in the preseason. The Niners look lousy. They look terrible so far in the preseason. And I know it's just the preseason, and I want to see what Kaepernick can do in week three. But so far, not so good for Kaepernick. Tap the brakes on him. This is a guy I would draft in the eighth or ninth round as my QB1. Right now on NFL.com, he's going in round eight. Even that's a little too rich for my blood. Again, waiting on the quarterback strategy. So Kaepernick needs to show me something because right now I'm on the fence with him.
So pumping the brakes on some of these dual threat guys. How about Blake Bortles, though? He's the guy. I like talking a little Bortles over Manziel.
That's the quarterback we need to talk about.
My guy.
If we said seven on Kaepernick, does that sound about right?
No, I would not take
high?
Seven.
No,
too high.
No, you don't think he's a seventh best quarterback?
Oh, seventh overall?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. He can be from six to ten, no question about it. One to five, no.
Yeah, a little aggressive. We're pumping the brakes on that. Next on NFL Fantasy Live, we're talking about one of the biggest question marks in fantasy for 2014, Doug Martin. Will the Young Bucks running back return to his old form after a season-ending injury in 2013? And looking to bring home the championship this year? Well, then you won't want to miss our list of overvalued big-name players. That's coming up next.
All right, we've covered a bunch of teams extensively already, but still got a few more to go. Here's the remainder of your fantasy two-a-day schedule. And take a look. See some notable teams on there. Eagles and Redskins tomorrow. That's the one thing I'm really looking forward to. A lot of fantasy options between both of those two teams. All right, today we're going to be hitting on the Panthers and Buccaneers in our fantasy two-a-day series. Let's start in Carolina with the Panthers. 2014 may be different for Cam Newton. He's lost all his weapons from last year. You take a look at it. Subtractions, the big names there, Brandon LaFell, Steve Smith, Dominic Hickson to a degree. They added Kelvin Benjamin through the draft. Tyquan Underwood, love his hair, don't know about his game. And Jason Avant, Jericho Cotchery as well. If you guys haven't seen Tyquan Underwood's hair.
You're missing out.
You are missing out. You need to Google that
it
right
is,
now.
It is pretty. But looking at that list, I mean, the subtractions, I mean, they're okay, right? But Steve Smith isn't Steve Smith at this point in his career. And Brandon LaFell, Dominic Hickson, it's not a ton of wide receivers who are just superstars.
Yeah, you didn't see any superstars on that list. But how much do you like, you know, some of these receivers that they added?
Not much. I know they have expectations for Kelvin Benjamin. He's the big wide receiver that's probably going to be the top target there. Jericho Cotchery was nice as a third option in the Steelers offense previously. But I just don't know that any of these guys move the needle for me. And the other part is, yes, they lost some guys who weren't necessarily eye-popping stats guys, but they at least had a rapport with Cam Newton, which is something these guys don't.
Speaking of, did the additions and subtractions, I mean, basically what I'm trying to get to is, how does this impact Cam Newton's status? Because we've seen a guy who's been a top four quarterback every single year he's been in the league. Can he do that again in 2014?
I'm sort of tempering expectations. I think he could be somewhere in the 6 to 8 range, maybe 6 to 10 range in fantasy points because of what he can do with his feet. And I know that his rushing totals have gone down in every season. His fantasy points have gone down in every season. But, guys, he's still finished no worse than 4th in fantasy points among quarterbacks. And his stock is falling a little bit. I've had two drafts where Cam Newton has fallen to me in the 10th round. And in the 10th round, to get Cam Newton, listen, that's an absolute no-brainer in my opinion.
Yeah, I just worry, though, about the ankle surgery. I think that's the biggest question mark. I know he hasn't gone full speed on it yet. What we saw of him in his one preseason game is that he was being very tentative about that, and that is going to affect his ability to run. That and the fact that I think the Panthers want him to be more of a pocket passer. He can scramble, but you're not going to see the designed runs for Cam Newton like you have in the past.
I think what's very telling is the number of rushing touchdowns that he has had. He's absolutely crushed guys in terms of how many rushing touchdowns he's had. So, again, to your point, Fabs, they didn't lose any barn burners on the wide receivers, but and so maybe some of his value will still be maintained through the ground as well. A pass catcher they didn't lose. Old reliable, Greg Olsen. How much of a bigger season are you expecting him to have? Because, again, as Marcus mentioned, not a great rapport with the wide receivers he has. Greg Olsen should be a beneficiary.
Truly, though, I think Olsen's hit his ceiling statistically. 800 to 900 yards, somewhere between 5 and 7 touchdowns. I think that's what Greg Olsen is. And currently his ADP on NFL.com is around 7. That's actually a little too rich for my blood. I would rather wait and take someone like Kyle Rudolph, say, for example, in the 10th or 11th round, or maybe even a Zach Ertz, who I really like. Olsen's steady. He's not spectacular. He's not Julius Thomas or Gronk or Jimmy Graham, but he is a number one tight end in fantasy, and he has been over the last couple of years. I just don't see him breaking out and having even more success statistically because these guys have left.
In the backfield, it's a little bit of a mess. D'Angelo Williams.
It has been forever.
That's an
Mike Tolbert in the mix as well. Of these three guys, who do we like?
Well, D'Angelo's the guy that I would say is number one in Carolina, but he's probably not more than number four in terms of running backs from a fantasy perspective. Now, he's going to start. Jonathan Stewart's going to come in, and there's going to be that committee still there. You said Tolbert is a guy that you have to look out for. And then Cam Newton's going to steal some goal line work as well. So it's hard to trust any of these guys as more than a four. I would draft Stewart late, though. Take a flyer on him.
As he mentioned, we saw Stewart get some good preseason work. Marcus, stock up, stock down on him.
Yeah, I think in terms of just flat-out talent, I think he's the most talented guy in that backfield. The issue is he can't stay healthy.
Exactly.
We spent so much time talking about a guy like Darren McFadden, whether or not he's going to be available. Jonathan Stewart falls into that same category, and I think he's a guy that if you could give me a guarantee that he would be there for 16 games, I would probably take him ahead of D'Angelo Williams. But just because of his history, he's a guy you're waiting on in drafts, and you're using him as a fourth option, maybe a bye week replacement or something of that nature.
Does he have upside, though? I mean, we're seeing him going as late as the 16th round, if not being completely undrafted. Does he got profit potential there?
He does. No, I think again, if you can wave a magic wand and say he's going to be there for a full season, he has the potential to kind of have that Sean Moreno from last year where you get him late in a draft and he blows up for you. But I understand why everybody's a little bit nervous about
that. I want to use that magic wand on Rob Gronkowski ahead of Jonathan Stewart.
All right, let's swing from the Carolina Panthers to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and start off with their fantasy stud in Doug Martin. Man, so much has been written about Doug Martin. He missed a big chunk of last season due to a shoulder injury. What should we expect from the artist formerly known as the Muscle Hamster?
Well, he's now formerly known as the Muscle Hamster.
I think
no
he's
longer
just
known
a symbol
as,
now.
Is that right? So they lose Charles Sims, the rookie.
Right.
And clearly that means Doug Martin's going to be utilized a little bit more as the number one guy in the backfield. Here's where I have a concern. That offensive line is bad.
A little bit of
it
a mess.
It is very bad. Jeff Tedford, you've written about this on NFL.com, Jake. He liked to use a featured back at Cal, but he ran the ball so much, a lot of times two guys benefited from that. So Martin is someone I would draft in the second round as an RB2. I am not touching him in the first round. I am not touching him as my number one running back.
I was waiting for a Dim Chinobe Echimondu reference somewhere in here. You know, talking Tedford and running backs.
I can't even say that.
Chinobe Echimondu.
There you go.
Love it.
You mentioned briefly, Fabs, the offensive line there in Tampa Bay, and they are really very much a mess. Carl Nix no longer there. Just a lot of shuffling around there, and that's going to have a big impact. I also wonder how much the big front line or the big line of pass catchers is going to impact what happens with the running game as well. They like Vincent Jackson. They like Mike Evans. Austin Seferian Jenkins could have some sort of impact in the offense. And you wonder how much of that takes away from the opportunities of Doug Martin and the rest of those guys to get the football.
I look at the coaching staff. Lovie Smith is there. Jeff Tedford, obviously, as again, I've written
run,
about.
Run, run, run.
Run, run, run. And plus, you look at a veteran quarterback, a journeyman quarterback in Josh McCown. All signs are pointing to these guys running the ball a lot. So, again, there's a lot to like from a fantasy perspective in terms of that Tampa Bay backfield. Josh McCown, hit on it very quickly. Is this guy draftable? I won't even say in a 10-team, but a 12-team. Do you like him at all?
12-team, maybe late as a QB2, but Josh McCown has been what in his career? A journeyman. Last year, he was great. Listen, I take nothing away from him. He was great. But I think he was a product of Mark Trestman's offense. Mm. He had opportunities to be an NFL starter in the past. He couldn't succeed. Now he's in Tampa Bay. He's got a new offensive coordinator in a run-based offense. McCown is not a guy I really want to draft.
His primary target is most likely going to be Vincent Jackson. There's a lot to like about Vincent Jackson. When you look at his overall numbers, man, he puts up some stats. but he's very up and down as well, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm not riding that roller coaster this year. You know, if any fantasy owner has had Vincent Jackson, you understand that while the final totals look great, it's so up and down. So much of his numbers come in just a handful of games. You saw last year, a large chunk of what he produced came in about four or five games last season, and it gets hard to count on that kind of guy week to week. It's great when you have him for the three touchdown game. It stinks when you have to settle through the three catch, 25-yard outings.
That's tough on a week-to-week basis, especially considering we're talking about a weekly game.
Yes.
If we're talking total points, great. If we're talking week-to-week, you got to get those wins. Vincent Jackson is a tough place sometimes. Mike Evans is going to be another very tall wide receiver Josh McCown's going to be thrown to. Late-round sleeper potential, Mike?
I'm a very short fantasy analyst, and I wouldn't draft this very tall fantasy wide receiver until the late rounds at most. I am down on rookie wide receivers. They typically don't put up big numbers. This is a run-based offense. If you get 750 yards and six touchdowns from Mike Evans, I think it's a very good season. That's kind of what Calvin Johnson did as a rookie, so not too bad, but I'm not targeting him until late, if at all.
I think right now, maybe a question mark would be, and maybe some upside potential for Mike Evans, is the fact that the secondary is really going to be focusing on Vincent Jackson. They also got Austin Seferian Jenkins, who may get a couple touches as well.
Who is also a rookie, and rookie tight ends
don't do well.
I'm just saying.
Again, all signs point to them running the ball a lot. All right, still to come, who has enough gas in the tank once players reach that tender age of 30? A lot of fantasy managers believe and start worrying about a decline in production. Could be the same for these receivers. Find out next on NFL Fantasy Live. Big names can give you big-time production, or they can be a big-name bust. We're ripping through our overvalued big-name players to watch for. And which running backs can you trust on the road? Michael Fabiano breaks down the RBs with the most favorable road schedules that may lead you to glory. And finally, we're taking to that social bird, tweet, tweet, baby. Our experts answering your Twitter questions leading up to your draft coming up on NFL Fantasy Live. Some big names do deliver. Others tend to underdeliver. So basically taking a look at some of the guys that are drafted a little bit too high. A lot of interest in the Denver backfield. Elliot, we're going to start with you. Monte Ball, I don't think you're too high on him.
Well, it's not that I'm not high on him. It's a matter of where they're going in the draft. You know, and it's one thing to say, hey, this guy's overvalued as a third rounder. He's a fifth rounder. Monte Ball's not a third rounder or a fifth rounder. I'm just saying he's not worthy of being the ninth overall pick in your draft, which is his ADP right now on NFL.com. I think Monte Ball is more of a 15th overall pick. And it's just like the real NFL draft. When you slide six or eight spots in that area of the draft, that's the same thing as dropping from the third to fifth round in real life. That's what I'm saying here. So Monte Ball, if you're sitting there at seventh, eighth, or ninth, I don't think this is your pick. You're talking about a guy that only had 139 touches last year and hasn't been practicing.
To me, he's a guy that honestly is not draftable at his current price. And I know, Mike, you're going to disagree with me here because you're big on him, but he couldn't win the starting job last year. Ronnie Hillman is there. I still see that backfield being a little bit of a timeshare.
Last year. Okay. Forget about last year. It's 2013. We know John Fox likes to use veterans, yes. Right? So no Sean Marino, and he was good at the end of 2012, if you remember, with the Broncos, came in, took the job. Who else is in Denver right now in that backfield? Ronnie Hillman, C.J. Anderson.
Sammy Winder.
He's not coming. Sammy Winder's not showing up at the door anytime soon. It's the job, balls to lose. True. This is the guy here. Peyton Manning's running backs in the history of his career have always succeeded. That's why I like Monte Ball. If we were on this show last year, we were talking about Marino. Mm-hmm. Everyone would say, he's not worth a first-round pick. Guess what?
He's worth a first-round
pick. He was worth the first-round pick.
But Marino also had 5 years in the league to learn what he's doing out there. Ball is missing really important practice time with the appendectomy. Now, I know he's coming back, but it's important for a second-year player to get that time.
Monte Ball missed some time, practice time with an appendectomy. Gronkowski has missed a lot of practice time with a various list of ailments. Marcus Grant, how do you feel about Gronk this season?
I am very nervous about Gronk this season.
And look, nervous.
I do what I can. look, Gronk has, you mentioned the surgeries, the injuries, and that eventually is going to take a toll. And it's not so much that I don't think Rob Gronkowski can have a great season. I think he will. I'm not taking him over Julius Thomas, and that's where he's going right now in a lot of NFL.com
drafts. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy. I think Julius Thomas right now is the second tight end off the board. At least he should be. And look, when Gronk is out there, Gronk play, Gronk smash, maybe that's part of the problem. He should smash a little bit less because that has kind of led to some of his injuries. I just think it's going to take a toll, and it's enough to have me, basically I'm going to make him someone else's problem.
Sure. Michael Fabiano has talked to me about Chris Johnson being CJ.9K.
I just think that the cliff is coming. I know he finished in the top 10 in fantasy points among running backs last year, but if you own Chris Johnson, he was just a headache in terms of consistency. One week he'd give you a good game. The other 2 weeks, he would be absolutely awful. The Jets want to use a committee situation. I just don't see him rushing for 1,000 yards this year. The cliff, my friends, is coming.
Elliot Harrison, you're big on Brandon Marshall. How big are you or how small are you on Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, I can tell you mean business when you say my last name. I feel like my mom is yelling at me right now. Look, it's same deal with Monte Ball. Alshon Jeffrey, I like him a lot. But do you take him in the second round as your first wide receiver? No. No way. I got plenty of guys I would take over him. Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Megatron, Brandon Marshall. I take Keenan Allen before I take Alshon Jeffrey. I take A.J. Green before Alshon Jeffrey.
Marcus, can you talk to me about Reggie Bush?
Yes, sir. Reginald Alfred Bush II he's done a lot. He can catch passes. He can run the ball out of the backfield. The problem is he's going to have to contend even more with Joik Bell than he did last year. The two of them spent a lot of time. They both finished in the top 17 among fantasy running backs, and that division of labor may get a little more even this year. I think Reggie will be productive. He's just going to get fewer opportunities to try and produce.
That's kind of why I like Joik Bell at his current ADP. It's very late in drafts. I feel like he's going to give you great value. If Reggie Bush misses some time, Joik Bell, to me, can be a high-end RB2. Am I crazy in thinking
no.
that?
No, but Reggie Bush has been, I can't believe I'm saying this, durable in the last couple of years.
I know,
he hasn't missed
tough,
a lot
man.
Of games.
It's crazy.
Ever since he left New Orleans, he's been more durable.
Yeah,
which is
insane.
Strange. But, you know, you talk about guys without a lot of experience. We're talking about Joik Bell as an RB2 here. Okay.
He did.
One good year. One good year. I like him. Don't get me wrong, okay. But I'm not getting crazy.
Yeah, but
he's
in the event of an injury to Reggie
yes,
Bush, and
sure.
I think he slides in and he takes all
but
those
But a lot
touches.
Of people are drafting him as an RB2 or a high 3 right now. A little too rich for my blood.
All right. Let's stay with some familiar players and talk about some receivers over the age of 30. Elliot, is Larry Fitzgerald a guy? To me, he's a surefire Hall of Famer, but do you like him in fantasy this year?
Careful there. Tim Brown right now is watching this show. He might have something to say. I don't trust Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sorry. Great player, awesome, all that great stuff. But at the end of the day, here's the numbers I'm looking at. 49.9 yards per game 2 years ago. 59.6 yards per game last year. Does that excite you, Fabs?
No, and he hasn't had a 1,000-yard okay. season in 2 years.
Yeah, how about 7 touchdowns a year? Yeah, 7 touchdowns is okay, if you're catching 90 balls for 1,250 yards,
right.
How many people take Larry Fitzgerald in the second round?
It's his name.
It's his name.
It's his name.
I'm not even sure he's a third rounder, guys. I think Larry Fitzgerald's more of a fourth or fifth round option at best.
All right, let's talk about Roddy White. He's going pretty high in drafts as well. Is he a name that you can trust, Fabs?
I trust him, and it's not because I like watching the Falcons on Hard Knocks either. Roddy White, when he was healthy last year, and that wasn't a lot, played very well. He's got Julio Jones now back and healthy, drawing coverage. Roddy White's got a great rapport with Matt Ryan. I've moved Roddy into my top 20 among wide receivers.
Hello.
But I can tell you something right now. There are leagues out there where you're going to be able to get him as a high-end 3 in a 10-team league, and that is like stealing, guys. I can tell you that can happen because I've done it.
All right, Andre Johnson, we'll stay with you, Michael Fabiano.
Listen, I know the quarterback situation is a little bit messy, but Case Keenum was throwing on the ball last year, and Matt Schaub was throwing the ball to the other team.
100-plus catches.
He is not a guy who's going to score a lot of touchdowns, bottom line. But can he get you 100 receptions and 12 to 1,300 yards? Absolutely. Would I want that for my number two fantasy wide receiver? Why not?
Done.
Enjoy your little touchdown
But I drafted knowing that. I drafted knowing I'm not going to get the touchdown production. But I'm getting receptions and yards.
Some of those yards.
That's true.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Anquan Boldin. Definitely seen some better days, but Marcus, do you like him? Not like him.
I don't like him as much as I did last year. And last year, he got all those yards and all those touchdowns by circumstance. You had Michael Crabtree out of the lineup. You had Vernon Davis kind of in and out of the lineup. Colin Kaepernick didn't have a lot of options on where to go with the football. You like Boldin as a football player. He makes tough catches. He makes plays in traffic.
He blocks.
Everything. He does.
Yes.
He blocks. He does everything a coach would want him to do. He's not a fantasy guy. He's a guy who this year, I think, takes a step back to where he had been previously, which is a guy who gets you about 60 catches, 65 catches a year, maybe around 800, 900 yards, 3 or 4 touchdowns. I mean, it's nice well down your depth chart, but you're not starting him every week.
He's a guy to me that I think if you take him in the 16th round, you're passing on a sleeper. I think that's a mistake. All right, the great debate is coming. Can't decide if Antonio Brown should be your wide receiver one. What about Pierre Garçon? Our experts pound the tables to sort out wide receiver values, and our researchers dig up some information that may help you pick your go-to running back on the road. Michael Fabiano runs through which RBs had the best road schedules in 2014. When we come back.
Think you can't live without your phone? Wait until you download the new NFL.com fantasy football app. Live draft from anywhere and watch in-game video highlights on the go. NFL.com makes fantasy football better for everyone. Download for free at NFL.com/fantasy app.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Molly Karam here with Elliot Harrison and Marcus Grant. And guys, we're going to answer some of those tough questions. When you have a guy and you don't know, is he a running back one, running back two, you're not sure where to put him. And then we're getting to the wide receivers as well. But let's begin with Le'Veon Bell out of Pittsburgh. He finished with the 14th most fantasy points amongst running backs last year. Elliot, is he an RB1 or RB2?
Well, I think we're talking 10-team league, which is what most people play. I think he's an RB2. I don't trust Le'Veon Bell enough to make him my number one back in fantasy. That said, Marcus, I think he's a super strong RB2.
I agree with that. About a month ago, I might have had him at the end of my RB1 rankings. Then all of a sudden, you see LeGarrette Blount getting some work. You see Dre Archer getting touches. I love Bell's athleticism. I love the fact that he catches the ball out of the backfield. But when he comes out himself and says LeGarrette Blount's going to get some goal line carries, that's a red flag to me.
Ouch.
Doug Martin missed 10 games last season. He's healthy now. Where are you taking him? Is he a one or a two?
He's a two for me. And a
really?
Lot of it.
Why?
Well, a lot of it is because even last year when he was healthy, he didn't play very well. Mm-hmm. The Bucs have a lot of changes on the offensive line. You still have, you know, Bobby Rainey, kind of Mike James hanging around there. You just really don't know what Jeff Tedford's offense is going to bring for the Tampa Bay running back situation. So I think Doug Martin, and, you know, if nothing else was there, I think he's an RB1. Yeah, but I think right now he's a two.
I agree. I think he's RB2.
I think he's a third-round guy.
Yeah, third-round guy. I mean, you talk about a new offense coming off an injury. Didn't play that well when he did. A junky offensive line. It's a crud stew for Doug Martin this year.
Love that. His ADP's 25th overall. Giovanni Bernard, he's 21st overall average draft position. RB2.
RB2 for me. I see the look.
Is anybody a one?
I see the look you're getting. Fine. He might be the 10th best running back. Do you want the 10th best running back to be your RB1? What I'm saying is don't be that 10th guy in your league. Yeah, he's going to be pretty good. You want to be the guy that got the 10th best running back as your RB2.
It's better than having the 11th best running back.
All right, calm down.
I like Gio Bernard as a number one. I know that Jeremy Hill is going to vulture some touchdowns at the goal line, but Bernard's going to do so many different things that I think it makes up for. Plus, nobody else has taken a snap with the first team as a running back there in Cincinnati.
I'll give you that.
It's all Gio all the time in Cincinnati.
He had the 16th most fantasy points last year amongst running backs. But now we move on, gentlemen, to the wide receiver position. We'll see if there's any ones in this mix. And let's begin with the Redskins and Pierre Garçon, 13th most fantasy points amongst wide receivers last year. Of course, DeSean Jackson now in town. Elliot, is he a one or a two?
I think you just made a good point right there. I think he's a two. Not because Jackson's going to be one, but because of all the different weapons that are there. They also signed Andre Roberts. He caught a 50-yard ball in the preseason against Cleveland. Nice adjustment on that play.
They got a pretty good tight end.
Pretty good tight end coming around in Jordan Reed. If he stays healthy, Marcus, and you know this team is going to run the football. And I haven't seen a lot from RG3. You got to have a good distributor if Garcon's going to be WR1.
What he said. Garcon's a wide receiver, too, just for exactly everything Elliot just said.
All right, Antonio Brown. No Jericho Cotchery. No Emmanuel Sanders. He's got to be a one.
He is a one.
Yes!
He's a one. He's a one for me.
Yes.
He is a bona fide number one target.
Let's give him the Johnny Manziel one.
Can we do that? I don't think so. He's the bona fide number one target for Ben Roethlisberger there. He is especially a PPR machine. Catches a ton of footballs.
I love it.
And you know, his speed obviously makes him a threat on every play. I don't think last year was a fluke. I think Antonio
Brown's a solid wide receiver.
Marcus, even though you were horrifically wrong on Gio Bernard, I've got to give you a lot of love on this one.
Horrifically.
Look, the Steelers are still waiting on two things. Marcus Wheaton to develop as their WR2 and Emmanuel Sanders to apologize. With neither one of those happening right now, Antonio Brown's number one.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. All right, let's move on to Keenan Allen. He had a breakout season last year, obviously his second year with Phillip Rivers there. You giving him the one?
Yeah.
He gets the one tag?
He's getting
the one. Go big man.
He's getting the one. We talked about Keenan Allen.
Don't ever call me big girl.
This was,
I'm sorry.
For the first month of last season, Keenan Allen really wasn't heard of. I mean, it was all about Eddie Royal for the first 3 or 4 weeks for the Chargers last year. Then Allen took off. And what I love even more about the guy is that he says he's gotten faster in the offseason.
Yeah.
That was the one knock on him coming out of the draft. If he's really a deep threat now, he's really scary.
Well, he was 21 years old last year, and Marcus and I were talking off camera. 71 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns for a guy that got off to a slow start in his rookie season at a position that's historically the hardest to adjust to in the pro game. This guy is a wide receiver one for sure.
Ton of upside there. All right, thank you, gentlemen, for clarifying those tough questions for us. We appreciate that. For more now, let's throw it over to James and Fabs. Gentlemen.
All right, thank you so much, Molly. I'm here with Michael Fabiano, and it's time for Greatness on the Road, presented by Courtyard by Marriott. We're going to take a look at the top 10 worst home fantasy points against for running backs in 2013. It'll make a lot more sense when you actually see the board here. There it is. These teams gave up a ton of points at home to running backs. And of course, when you look at the board, you start figuring out which running backs are going to be playing these teams.
Exactly.
And I think at the top of the list, Mike, is Arian Foster, right?
Well, because you see two AFC South teams on there, right?
Yeah.
The Jaguars are on there. The Titans are on there. They were awful against the run. So finally, we have something positive to say about Arian Foster.
It's tough,
he missed
man.
Half of last
it's
year,
tough,
and he hasn't played in the preseason.
Yeah.
But the schedule, when he goes on the road, is extremely favorable. And they play the NFC East this year. And guess who's in the NFC East? The Dallas Cowboys, who could have the worst defense that's ever been on an NFL field this season. Play them in week 5. You play the Giants as well. There's a couple of tough games here. I think the Browns are going to be tougher. But Arian Foster has a very positive schedule. Let's just see if he can stay healthy.
I mean, especially early on. Raiders, Giants, Cowboys. I'll take all three of those all day. Are you kidding me?
That makes two of us, my man.
All right, there you go. All right, let's move on. Talk about DeMarco Murray. He's got a pretty favorable schedule as well. Mike, what do you like seeing in this schedule here
for
DeMarco?
Well, again, AFC South. So you've got the Titans, you've got the Jaguars. Boy, that game against the Seahawks in week 6, that one would scare me to death. Otherwise, some pretty favorable games at Bears. The Bears were awful last year against the run. So DeMarco, in a contract year, a first-round pick as far as I'm concerned in fantasy, has even more value because he's got that nice schedule, especially when the Cowboys are on the road. And remember, he can catch the ball in the backfield too. Good receiver.
And I would also say stay patient with him because I think early on it'll be rough. Later in the season it'll be better. Giants, Bears, Eagles, all very nice matchups for him. C.J. Spiller, a guy that is very up and down in the fantasy community. His schedule might be a little bit more favorable for him this year, though.
We see some more AFC South teams in a row, right? You've got the Texans in there. The Bears, who I just talked about, were not good against the run last season. You got the Raiders in there as well. There's some tough matchups also. The problem with C.J. Spiller is the problem with C.J. Spiller from last year. Can he stay healthy, and can he pass Fred Jackson in terms of being the number one guy? And in the preseason so far, that has not happened. They are sharing carries, and Fred Jackson's the third down guy and the red zone guy. That's going to hurt Spiller's value, but at least the schedule is somewhat favorable. I don't draft him as more than a flex starter, though.
I see some up and down matchups for a guy who's very up and down in terms of production.
Yes, he is.
So, it's again, this is a weekly game. We've stressed this many, many times. The overall point production may be there, but man, on a weekly game, it's hard to trust CJ.
You need
Spiller.
Consistency. That's why you minimize risk and draft them as a flex, not a two.
All right, that was Greatness on the Road, presented by Courtyard by Marriott. Again, of those guys that we talked about, who was your favorite on that list, though?
I'm going to go with DeMarco Murray because he's in a contract year. The schedule is very good. And I know he's had a history of injuries, but not right now. Arian Foster would be the guy. If he could just get healthy, then he'd be the guy. But right now, it's Murray.
All right. Coming up, we take to the Twitterverse to answer all your pressing fantasy questions. You sent them in looking for knowledge, and we're about to drop some. Stick around. NFL Fantasy Live is back in just a few. All right, welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at NFL Fantasy. Speaking of, we asked you, some of the fans, to send us some of your tougher draft questions. This one is from BWill16. Which wideout will be the most productive in San Francisco? Fabs?
This is an easy one.
Easy
Michael
one.
Crabtree. Great rapport with Colin Kaepernick.
This next tweet here from Ethan Handles. Is DeMarco Murray really worth a first or second round pick, with Dallas most likely playing from behind because of their defense?
Not a first round pick. I think he's a good second round pick. Early in that second round, he's a guy who's right around that first RB2, maybe a late RB1.
All right, The Rich asks us, who would you rather take a chance on, Kelvin Benjamin or Marcus Wheaton? That's a great question, Elliot.
I like it. I tell you what, Rich, I have a hard enough trusting rookie wide receivers, much less in a bad passing offense. Give me Marcus Wheaton for the Pittsburgh Steelers over Benjamin.
All right, the show with the absolute best socks in the business. Can we see some of this?
I like Fab's whole outfit today.
I'm just rocking ankle.
I think Fab's the best.
By the way,
can you see Ashy ankle?
ALS challenge to you two knuckleheads.
Oh, I like it.
I'm waiting for your response. All right?
All right. I like it. Are you guys going to accept or what? What's going on here?
We're working on it.
TBD. I'm already going to do it from us, but we're back
like
tomorrow.
These? Those are good-looking shoes.
And we will continue our fantasy two-a-days with the NFC East and plenty of great socks as well. Our experts will dive into the 2014 fantasy outlook for the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see you then.
Marcus Wheaton.
Bye-bye.